Hey, hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Maniac Podcast, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the big game pregame, Penn State. That's right, guys. We are in the home stretch. We are in the two out of the three most important games in this team's fucking life right now. So, before we get into this one, obviously, all the same stuff as usual. I'm on all social media, all the social networks, everything you can think of, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. Go to each one. You find me under Michigan Maniac Podcast or Maniacs Podcast, whatever. You'll find me there. Hit me up. Let me know what's going on. We'll converse. Have some fun at the expense of the other team. Create this little community we got. You leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, it would greatly be appreciated by me. And then let's get on with this. Okay. This is an interesting one. I mean, this is very important game. I mean, this game is freaking humongous. But I think this is a game. Now, if you were to say, you know, obviously it's At the beginning of the season, this was one of those games that you circle and be like, okay, this could be a loss for us because we haven't won in Happy Valley since 2015. By the way, that was the last time that it was an afternoon game. Every other one since then has been a whiteout at night. Thank God we're not doing it this year. I know they've started off rough, right? Penn State did not look good in numerous games this year. The Iowa game, but that's more that Clifford got hurt. And then Illinois was just straight garbagio. But ever since then, they've been kind of looking fairly decent. So I had to figure it out, right? Like, this team kind of perplexes me in a way that... Here's the thing. So I was looking at the numbers. I'm sorry, I'm a little off right now. But so this team is basically a one-man wrecking crew, is really what it is on offense. That they aren't really dominant in the offensive game at all outside of one player. And I mean, the player is phenomenal. Dotson's probably one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten. But still, it's such a dependent position, the wide receiver position, that it's hard to imagine that one player can dictate such things, right? Like, Sean Clifford is the guy that makes Dotson so amazing, right? I mean, he's obviously, Dotson's a great athlete, and he gets open, and he runs great routes and all that. But like I've said numerous times, it doesn't matter how great your wide receivers are if your quarterback can't do shit. Right, I mean, we as Michigan fans know that better than almost anyone. I mean, Nico Collins, Devin Funchess, DPJ, talented wide receivers, and did literally nothing with them because one, offensive scheme, and then our quarterbacks literally could not get them the ball. So, with that, I think literally, if we can just shut down Sean Clifford, this game, we can really take advantage of these dudes. They have not looked good for the majority of the season against good defenses, right? To give you an idea, they're 90th in total offense. Now, over the last 2 weeks is what we're really going to be paying attention to, because the last 2 weeks... they have, their passing offense has just been fantastic. But their scoring offense is 74th in the nation. 74th. They're only scoring 25 points per game. They're going to be facing Michigan that is, like, hold on. Michigan's, like, the, we're sixth in the nation scoring defense. We're only allowing something like, I don't know, 12, 13 points a game. It's probably like 15 at this point, but I could have swore it was 13. I'm probably wrong. But they don't do well against good teams like that. Iowa, good, very good a very good example. Iowa, even when Clifford was playing, he still threw like two or three interceptions before he got hurt in that game. They're fourth in scoring defense, and Iowa is still eighth in total defense. They haven't played a great defense yet. Illinois isn't even close to them in total defense. Penn State's 40th total defense in the nation, right? They haven't played anyone. Any of their wins have been against teams that are way less, way ranked higher, I guess, in the defensive category, right? So like 120th and all that and up. But they've struggled against Iowa. They struggled against Ohio. Ohio has the 37th ranked defense. They also have and then Iowa has the 8th ranked defense. They don't do well against these teams. I mean, Ohio kept them around a lot longer than they probably should have. But still, this can be. If our defense comes to play, I'm not kidding. We could probably put this game out of reach. I mean, this could be a 14-17 point win for us if we do this right. If we play the way we did against Michigan State, but our red zone offense, and I'm talking red zone offense from the 20-yard line to the 10-yard line, stinks. 100% stinks. But when we get into the 10 down, we're not actually not that bad, because we have more rushing touchdowns in the red zone than we have anything. I think, like I told you last episode, we only have nine passing touchdowns, I think it is. Nine or six. It's something abominable like that. It's something awful. But with that being said, though, if we get into the 10, even though it is a boring offense, but when we're the 10 and lower, we do seem to get the ball in there, and that's just because we just jam it down their throat and then we get lucky enough to score it in there. But if our red zone offense from the 20 to the 10 actually becomes creative, and I would use our tight ends, double tight ends, hell, I'd put three tight ends out there, I don't know, and run them every which way. I don't give a shit what we do. Let's just do it. But the red zone's got to work. And I know what you're saying. No, they're really good running defense. They're this and they're that. You know, their pass defense is pretty decent. They're not. Okay? They're just not. And this is what shocks me. This is the true enigma to this defense. Okay? I couldn't believe it myself. Now, their defense. Penn State has the total. They're the 40th total defense in the nation. Not too bad. Right, they're not awful, but they're not. It's not great. Their scoring defense. Oh no! Before I get into that, because that's the thing that blew my hair back. The passing defense is ranked 39th in the country. They allow 212 yards passing. And then their rush defense, they're 52nd in the nation in allowing 146 yards per game. 146 yards per game. That plays right. That sounds like two stat lines that Michigan averages every stinking game. You know, at least Cade McNamara, or the combination of Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy, will at least get 212. You know our running back should get over 146 yards rushing. So with those two kind of poor defenses, right, the pass and the run together, but they're still the ninth in the nation in scoring. So somehow, some effing way, they are able to stop teams from, I don't know if it's they other teams fuck up or they punt or they, I don't know what it is, but it's crazy to me. They're ninth in the nation. They only allow 16 points per game. 16 points per game for a team that has both passing offense and passing defense over 40 or 40 and over. That's nuts. It doesn't make sense to me, because you would think if you're only allowing 16 points per game, your defenses like are in at least the top 25, top 30, but both of them are 39 and 52 respectively. I guess, if that's respect. I don't know how they do it. They must have had games where they, and I'll admit it, I have not watched much of Penn State at all. I watched that Iowa game, and then I watched the Illinois, the most boring 9 overtime game you'll ever see in your life, and I've watched those two. I didn't see anything that shocked me. I know their defensive line is very good. It looks like they can get up and after the passer. And that scares me because Indiana made our offensive line look very pedestrian last week. So I'm not excited about that. They have pretty strong linebacker play, which can end up biting us in the butt. They have a senior linebacker, Brooks, who has 69 total tackles on the season. So, I mean, pretty solid. It seems like it's a senior-led defense because they've got a senior safety who has 4 interceptions, which leads the team as well. So it's not like you're going to get them on inexperience. But if Illinois and Iowa, both with putrid offenses, boring offenses, unimaginative offenses, if those guys, Illinois ran the ball right down Penn State's throat, so that should be a positive for us. And then Iowa, with average, at best, average quarterback play, and a fairly decent running game, was able to move the ball up and down the field on Penn State. We should be able, I'm telling you, this should be a 14-point win for us. It should be. Now, listen, I've said that this should be this and this should be that, and then in that Rutgers game, and Rutgers came to play, and we put our head up our butt. So anything can happen when it comes to this Michigan team. But the thing that makes me really excited is DJ Turner's completely come on lately. He is an absolute strength back there. He's starting to look like the shutdown corner that we used to have with either Ambry Thomas or Hill or, you know, just, I mean, name any Peppers, Stribling, Jordan Lewis, I mean, name him. And he's starting to look like that now. Vincent Gray is doing fantastic. And even Vincent Gray shut down Trifogle or whatever that kid's name is. So he did that last week. I don't even think Trifogle had a reception. So the one thing they do really, really well is what Michigan's defense is finally starting to do very well. Just to give you an idea, Michigan's pass defense is 7th in the nation. 7th in the nation in pass defense. They don't have a running game. They have two running backs that basically shoulder the load here, Lee and Kane. Kane leads the team with 293 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's on the year, guys. That's not in one game. That's 293 yards total on the season. And then Lee has 287 on the season. I think Blake Corum has that, both of those numbers, by himself. So they have a non-existent running game. So that means the only chance they got is that Clifford's got to take a 5-step drop and then launch that fucker all the way down to Dotson. And the only way he's going to do that is if he's got time. And guess what they don't have enough time to do when both Hutchinson and Ajabo are on the field? They don't have time to take 5-step drops. So what they're going to have to do is somehow do like little speed options or speed, like those little bubble screens. I bet money they do something what Northwestern did to us and try to get him in a screen or an option type deal, like a bubble screen for sure, and get him out because he's fast on the sides and go. Because you can't take 5-step drops against this team. And then you're probably thinking, okay, well, if the two running backs only don't even have 300 yards rushing, right, either of them, or even less than 700 together, then that must mean that Clifford's running the ball also as he's passing, so he's more mobile. He's making up those yards. Not true. He only has 122 yards rushing on the season. So that's what's so crazy, is that Literally, they are 6-3 solely based on the fact that Clifford can take five-step drops and fucking bomb it down to Dotson. And this is the only way that this team's winning, apparently, because they're not doing it on the ground. Their defense is good, very solid. It's a solid defense, but it's not like, oh shit, Wisconsin defense. There's not the Wisconsin defense. They're just not. I'm shocked how they're 6-3. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they stuck with. I do not know how they stuck with Ohio State. This to me, I should have watched that game instead of going to bed. But I was so upset with the Michigan State thing. I was like, I don't want to watch Ohio kick the shit out of Penn State. And when I turned it off, Ohio, I think freaking Henderson just ran like a 40-yard touchdown run or something stupid. And I was like, okay. And this is when Adam Brewer calls it a night. So I don't know how they hung with Ohio State. So that gives me even more hope that we can hang with Ohio State this year, is that this team that is very limited offensively can even remotely have a chance to beat Ohio State in that game is beyond me. Like, their defense is solid, but they're not world beaters. So if our defensive backfield plays great, right, and just do what they're doing, play like the 7th-ranked pass defense in the nation like they are, and Ojabo and our front 7 actually get pressure and do what they've been doing, this should be a very dominating performance for our defense. We should get at least 2 to 2.5 sacks, I'm going to say, on the day. We're going to get over 7 to 10 QB pressures. I don't see with the numbers that we're looking at how they can beat us with just the downfield passing game. I don't see it. Now, obviously, we don't need Noah Kane, who is still a very talented running back. We don't need him somehow waking up and having a fucking 300-yard day with 4 touchdowns and go all Kenneth Walker on our ass. We don't need that. Now, if we stop the big play, obviously, that's another big one. Our defense plays up to its potential. We stop the big play. Our run, our red zone offense actually does something and starts trading field goals for actual touchdowns. We should win by like 14 points. I'm looking at the numbers thinking there's no way. This game has got to be closer because they play as tough every game. It's always a tough battle, right? But every other team that we've played that Penn State's had has had a dynamic running back. Their quarterback usually has one hell of a game. They have two good, one decent, serviceable wide receiver, and then a dynamic wide receiver, right? And then they always have a very good tight end. And then their defense is always very good. Those are the teams we traditionally play against Penn State. They don't have that this year. They have a very solid defense, which they're going to try and stop the run. But they're 114th in the nation in run defense. 104. They allow 109 yards. Yeah, 109 yards per game. Rush defense. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's their offense. They only run for 109 yards. They're 104th in running the ball. I misread that. That is my fault on that one. Oh, my God. They only average 109 yards rushing the ball. Even with our linebackers being a deficit at this point. The only thing that I think that could really harm us in this, okay? A few things, actually. If all those injuries are actual real injuries, right? If, like, Corum is actually really hurt, Edwards isn't coming back anytime soon, if that's real. If Andrew Anthony's really hurt, if, hurt enough not to play in this game, or did they not come back because we already had a handle on the game and they wanted to make Penn State wonder? Well, who do we have to play? Who do we have to game plan around? Do we have to game plan around Cade McNamara, or is he hurt? You know, I know he came back in and played, but is he going to be 100%? Which wide receivers do we game plan for? Which tight ends do we game plan for? Maybe it's a little bit of gamesmanship by Harbaugh in Michigan by not bringing those kids back in when they probably could have. Now, I don't know about Jamon Green. I heard he's actually hurt. Don't know. I, you know, what do we know? Harbaugh just has been coy about it all, which makes me think is that obviously he's not giving them anything to go on. So we'll see, I guess. I don't know, though. If all those injuries are real and they're not going to play, that hurts a lot. So that could hinder, obviously, already dragging offense. But our offense is... total offense, we're ranked 20th. We're ranked 20th in the nation. Penn State ranked 90th total offense, right? We're not off. We're in the top 20 for the first time in a while in total offense. That's not bad. That's pretty good. Scoring offense, 15th. We're 15th in the nation in scoring offense. Penn State, 74th. 74th. But that's the only problem. If those injuries are real and they're not playing in this game, that creates a real problem. That's where this might be closer. That would create to be closer because we just wouldn't have the talent on the field or the experience on the field to handle moving the ball up and down, I would say, because if you take out Andrew Anthony, Eric All, and Blake Corum, puts a lot on Haskins' shoulders, but I still think that guy is so capable of just being a dominant player. I still think we win a squeaker, even if that's it. Even if you eliminate all the wide receivers and we just go to the Washington game plan of just jamming it down their throat, with just Hassan Haskins, yeah, I think we win a close one, like 17-13 or something like that. But if any of those guys are come back, if Corum comes back, if Andrew Anthony and Eric All come back, I'm telling you, we can win this by two scores, and it'll be locked up by the third. It could, and it absolutely could, but like I said, injury is a big deal, and if somehow, some way, if we can't figure out this big play thing, if we can't stop that, because they're built for the big play. Like, the Dotson can pull off two big plays easily. I mean, he had over 200 some yards, I think, last week against Ohio. It was against Maryland. They beat Maryland, but Clifford had, just as an example, the last two games against Ohio and Maryland, he had 361 yards passing and 363 yards passing, respectively. That's pretty decent. And I think Dotson had over 200 and some yards receiving against Maryland. So there are big threats if we put our heads up our butt and allow the big plays to happen, which can happen. I mean, we saw it against Michigan State. So we'll see. These numbers and the way both teams are playing at this point in time in the season, it'll be close at the beginning. By the third quarter, we should have pulled away and we should be winning, walking away by the fourth. We should. Hopefully, fingers crossed to the college football gods. Hopefully, that's what it is. If we can't put pressure on Clifford, then that really creates a big problem, which I can't see it happening. I just can't see it happening. The numbers don't support it. They just don't. What we're doing compared to what they're doing, it doesn't support it. I mean, even Ohio's total defense is 37th in the nation. We're 6th. We have a better pass rush than they do. Okay? We have comparable cornerback play, defensive back play. They have probably stronger linebackers. Let's just face it. They probably have stronger linebackers. But overall, we have a much better defense. This is going to be one of the best defenses they've played all season outside of Iowa. And we all saw what happened with Iowa. Iowa knocked out Sean Clifford, and then they played like shit the rest of the time. But still, it wasn't... I don't see how we lose this one, and I don't see... But that's the thing, right? That's the thing with Harbaugh in this tenure, is that there are games that you should win, and that you are the better team, and yet we still find a way to lose. And that's the thing that bugs me about this. But we have so much on the line here. I mean, we win this game. We win this game. And we have Maryland. Obviously, I have to take Maryland seriously. But we win this game. It proves that we can go on the road, win in a place we haven't won since 2015. We can rise to the challenge because, you know, even though the numbers say they shouldn't be able to beat us, they don't believe that. They're going to show up to kick us right in the nuts and beat us. And then if we just win, we can, it sets it up for one hell of a fucking fight against Ohio at the end of November, just like God intended. Michigan and Ohio State standing on one field, punching each other in the face to see who goes to the Big Ten title game. Oh, does it get any better than that? Like, I know it hasn't worked out for us. I know that. Obviously, I mean, anybody who has half a brain knows it has not worked out for us lately. But what more can you ask for as a Michigan fan without knowing the ultimate result, right? Obviously, you want them to beat Ohio State. That goes without saying. But I'm just saying, before the game, what more can you ask for? That means we'll be 11-1 or 10-1 going in against Ohio State. To chance to win at least 11 games in the year, which doesn't happen very often for Michigan. I think we've done it, what, 3 times in our history or something like that? Something crazy. To be in the Big Ten title game and potentially go into the playoff. Oh, my God. What more can we ask for? And we can't have that day. We can't have that lead up if we don't win this game. And for that alone, I think this team's going to be focused. That reason alone. Because if not, there is no tomorrow if we lose this game. There isn't. Who gives a shit about Maryland? And all we're doing when we play Ohio State is we're just hoping that we can win for our own self-respect. But if we don't win this game, fucking forget it. So because of that, I believe this team is going to be focused. I wouldn't have said that about any other team that Harbaugh's had outside of the 2016 team. But this team is made up differently. They've proven it. They had an awful loss. And they've come back and they look good. You know, they look kind of look rusty. Not, you know, like they beat Indiana, but they should have really beat them by more. But that seems to be the song theme of the whole freaking season so far. But anyways, the culture's good. They're going to be focused. They're going to be ready. And the numbers support Michigan winning by at least 14. They do. And I mean, I'm going to go with, and I told you the keys of the game already. Red zone offense, and they have to stop Dotson. By stopping Dotson, you have to make Sean Clifford's life miserable. And if Illinois can do it, and if Iowa can do it, fucking so can we. There's no reason why we can't do it. Defensively, we're the 6th ranked defense in the nation. We had the 7th ranked pass defense in the nation. And I didn't even bother to look up the run because I could run for what Noah Kane's going to be able to run for in this game, which is going to be less than 15 yards. I'm playing, but you know what I mean. I'm just making the point. Who cares? Stop Dotson. You got to make Clifford uncomfortable. You got to make his life miserable. Red zone offense. We do those two things. We're going to win the game, right? We're going to win the game. Players of the game, I'm going to go with H2 until otherwise. H2 is just the dog. I don't know what's up with these injuries. So with one person that I know is the constant, you know, I'm going to go with the constant, and that is H2 for the offense. And defense, I'm going to say DJ Turner or Vincent Gray. Whichever one, it will be put on Dotson. I think you're going to see a big game from one of those two in shutting that kid down. I'm not saying that he's going to have a miserable game, but, I mean, I don't think he's... Dear God in heaven, please, don't let him Kenneth Walker us to death, please. I don't think I could watch a fucking, you know, seven to ten catches for 270 yards and fucking four touchdowns. I'd lose it. But that's not going to happen because DJ Turner or Vincent Gray is going to shut them down. And those are going to be the two defensive players of the week. Because I don't know who's going to have to be on him more. So I'm just picking them both. So that way I'll just cover it because that's the key. But that's it, guys. I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be an interesting, fun game. I think it's, you know, anytime it's a big game in the Big Ten, it's exciting. I think we're going to win. I want to say 28 to 17. I'm going to say 28 to 17. We win by 11. All right. 28-17. And then you notice that's four touchdowns. So Moody's only going to have to kick field. I mean, extra points. We're going to do it. 28-17 Michigan. So guys, that's it. Exciting, you know, as always. So this is, can't wait. I'm very excited about this game. And it's always great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And always and forever, guys. Go Blue.